Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thanks for joining us here today as we are in the middle of this discussion about conflict resolution between parents and teens. We hope you've enjoyed it already, and today is part six. So let's get started. And the first action to take, just to kind of take Proverbs 18 and then put it into some practical application, the first action to take is to work on the relationship.
Yes.
And to work on the relationship means you've got to know your child. And we have five children, as most of you would know, and each of our five children are different. And many of you are familiar with the five love languages.
Right.
And knowing that about our children, what makes this child feel loved?
Mm-hmm.
And for some of our children, it was quality time, where we had to take the time to spend time with them. Others, yes. It's touch. Others, yes. It's words of affirmation. Some, it's giving of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And the different acts of service. Those different love languages, it takes time to work on that relationship,
right,
to speak their love language.
Yes. Well, it takes time even to figure out what that is.
Absolutely. And if you're not familiar with those, it'd be worth your getting the book, The Five Love Languages, and reading about it. There's even one called Five Love Languages of Teenagers, I think. And it's worth reading because it helps us immensely to understand our young person, our child,
yes,
our teenager,
mm-hmm,
and to know how to connect to them. We do that as couples. Mm-hmm. We teach often as couples, a husband needs to understand what makes his wife feel loved.
Right.
She needs to understand what makes my husband feel love. And if we speak that love language, it may not be natural to us, but if we speak that love language, it fills their love tank and draws them really close in that marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing is true as parents and teens.
Absolutely.
When I speak my son's love language, I know one of our sons, quality time is very huge to him.
Yes.
And so when I spend time with him,
mm-hmm,
if I, you know, put something aside to spend time with him, no matter how small it is or how big it is, it can be a trip or it can be just an event in one day or a walk together.
Right.
Then it fills his love tank and all of a sudden we have a close relationship.
Right.
It calms the heart of your young person, but it takes work to work on the relationship.
It does. And it also takes selflessness, parents, because there are parents of teenagers who either are living out their teen years again through their teenager, and so they are trying to push them into things that they enjoyed doing that they no longer get to do. Maybe that's a sport. Maybe that's participation in some school activity, whatever that might be. And so we push and push and push our kid who may not be interested in that at all and may not even feel that they even have any talent in that area. So that could be one area, or it could be just something we like to do. I love to shop. I do. I have always loved shopping.
She's not lying.
My little Charity, she does not love shopping. Now she's starting to, as she's getting older, teenage years, she's starting to develop that want of looking attractive or being in that cool outfit or whatever it is. And so, yes, she'll want to go to pick something out like that. But as far as just spending the day shopping, for me to plan a girl's day out and say, hey, we're going to go shopping all day, she would not like that at all. She would not at all.
That makes me laugh to think about, she would respond to that. She would shudder.
She would.
She would shudder. However, I can go with her while Bethley shops and move fast through stores. So she shops a little bit more like I do.
Right.
Let's go look at something, we're done. Let's get a snack. Let's sit and talk.
Right.
She's more apt to be like that. And yet, you know, we think through, what can we do to connect to her? How
right.
can we connect to her?
So,
and it makes a difference.
With Charity, it's more, let's sit down and talk about something. Let's have a cup of tea and tell me about the latest book that you're reading. She loves that kind of connection time. Or yes, we can go out and get frozen yogurt. She loves that. She loves to go to the beach. She loves to be active. So it takes selflessness on my part to plan activities with Charity that she knows and loves instead of what I know and love.
And here's where we're headed with this. One of the ways to resolve conflicts with a teenager or a preteen is to develop a close relationship.
Yes.
When you have a close relationship, it allows your conflicts to be more easily solved.
Absolutely. Or it just
so
even
start
heads
here.
Them off.
Yep.
Yes.
Start here by working on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways you do that is you schedule normal connections.
Yes.
Okay. And by that I mean, these are times where a connection with your teen is just part of living life. For us, it was like mealtimes.
Yes.
A mealtime for us is a time to sit down. It's a time. And sometimes Bethlehem even goes a little above and beyond what maybe some families would do. Like we have often used real napkins or we use the nicer china or at least the nicer plates.
Right.
And just that time of let's up the ante here a little bit. Let's, but we try to eat when we're home, we try to eat meals together.
Right.
And even we don't usually, breakfast is the one that we don't often eat together. Cause we're all, some of our kids don't like breakfast and mornings are a little different of our routine, but you'll often find us, if we're at home, we're stopping everything to have a bite of lunch together.
Right.
And it's just a time where we're just chatting. Like even today, we sat kind of at the table and around the snack bar.
Right.
And yet we were all kind of talking to each other. We're connecting a few moments. It wasn't long. It was a busy day today. But it was a time just to chat, just to talk to each other, to listen to each other. And then supper, scheduling the evening meal together.
Right.
Is just astronomical. And any study of the nuclear family, families that were a husband, a wife, and children, to where there was a closeness and the family was succeeding, almost always points to the supper time meal.
Right.
And it's that connection time.
It is that table time where you just absolutely just sit down and talk. And I know we are a homeschool family, so this can come a little more easily to us. And our children aren't involved in all the co-ops and things because of our traveling. So we can plan these things. But even if your children are involved in a normal school, I guess you would call it a Christian school or a public school, and they're involved in sports, and do work at it at least a few times a week, that, you know what, all of us are going to sit down. We're all going to enjoy this meal together, and you don't have to get out the real napkins and the china. You can eat on paper plates and have paper napkins and have takeout, but at least you're sitting down together and you're having that time of connection.
Yeah. And I would just add as an aside here, moms and dads, the culture we live in tends to minimize cooking and preparing meals as a waste of time. And yet, why not get your family together and make mealtime a whole family affair?
Right. A lot of times our family connection time starts before the meal with all the prep, and it continues after the meal with the cleanup. The whole package is a family connection.
It does take time
for us.
But it's also a connection time. And even after the meal, the cleanup time.
Right.
And you could call that the work. One of the ways to connect your kids is via work.
Absolutely.
And you work together. I know that when the boys and I have done outside work together, where we've cut a tree together and we've split tree, or we've hauled wood, or we've installed something.
Right.
Recently, our dishwasher quit and so we had to buy a new dishwasher, and I installed it myself, which ran into several complications because the new one versus the old one, and all the connections were different, and getting it level, and just, it was a different one, so it fit differently. There was a lot of things to think through, but having the kids come and help me, you know, to hand me a tool, to hand me those kind of workings together can make a huge connection with your teenager.
Right.
And so they're learning how to do it, but they're also connecting. And we clean the house together as a family.
Yes.
We actually often will wash a car together as a family. And so when we're doing yard work together or housework, we do. The one thing about the family is that we've always had the kids help clean the house and do the laundry.
Right.
We do a lot of talking while we're folding a huge basket of laundry.
There is a lot of conversation that can go over.
And sometimes it's just hilarious, but it builds a relationship.
Right.
And so mom and dad, you might have to slow down. You might have to let things go. Don't allow, say, for instance, a school schedule to cause you to lose connection with your teenager. It might mean that you need to do less.
Right.
And so the point being that you have to take the action of working on the relationship, and you do that by scheduling normal connections. It can be mealtimes. It can be work. It can also be play.
Right.
Playing together.
Yes.
And that may be taking a bike rides together, or working out together, or playing a board game, or putting together a puzzle. Charity and I connect frequently on puzzles.
Right.
And so if I pull out a puzzle, my Charity will sit down and we will work a puzzle together until it is finished. She is she is with me on that. We are, and sometimes she wants to put the last piece in. So she learned from her brother Matthew, who very well may be listening to this podcast. And I just want you to know where she got it, Matthew, but she'll hold that last, she'll take one piece of the puzzle and put it in her pocket. so that at the end, we're looking for one piece of the puzzle, and then she'll smirk and pull it out and put the final piece in. And but that's a connection to a teenager. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is for your teen. It may be, you know, that they don't do puzzles or games, but maybe watching a movie together to where it's not just, you know, vegging, but also you're connecting.
Right. You're sitting together.
So it's play.
Yes.
And the other one I put in here is worship, because that's an important one, don't you think?
Yes, it is. Going to church together.
Together. Mm-hmm. And sitting together. I don't know that it's wrong for teens to sit with the other teens, but oftentimes when I've sat near teen youth groups who are all sitting together,
right?
Oftentimes there can be negatives involved in that, to mm-hmm. where they're distracting each other.
Right.
Teens are so peer pressure oriented that oftentimes if there's one teen who doesn't sing, it's amazing how many of the others will not.
True.
Or if there's one teen who ridicules another teen for singing, many of the other teens will stop singing as well. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how negative teenagers can produce negative teenagers.
Right. Or if one of them starts whispering or passing notes during the service or texting during the service, then the whole row starts too.
Bethany and I have been in churches all over the country, and we've seen it happen over and over again. So one of the ways you can connect to a teen is through worship.
Right.
You go to church together, you sit together, you take your Bible together, you take notes together, you stand together, you sit together, you pray together, and on the way home, you talk about it.
Right. And parents, sometimes there is reason for all of you to take separate vehicles, and especially as your teen is getting into those driving years, they just want to take their own vehicle and then maybe take off afterwards. And there may be a reason for that. Maybe they're going to go out with friends, but try to go together as a family. I know that we have had some great conversations on the way home from a service about what the Lord has done in the service or what the Lord is working on us personally. And it's just a wonderful connection time.
Absolutely. And then one final thing, and our time is gone. Here's an action that will help you with your teenagers. Be willing to take hard actions when necessary. There are times in a relationship that a teen is miserable because of rebellion.
Right.
Don't let that intimidate you.
No.
You correct the rebellion, whether it's an action or an attitude, not by giving liberty, by curbing liberty. Sometimes you have to limit the liberty of your teen because your teen is in rebellion.
Right.
They will still be miserable, but at least for the right reasons. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thank you so much for being a part of today's conversation. This series about conflict resolution is just covering so many topics, and this one about parents and teens is super important. So we really hope that you're enjoying it and profiting from it. And if you are, we hope you'll share that with others and encourage them to tune in as well. Of course, the Keeping It Young is a co-production of KeepingItYoungPodcast.com and the TILRadio.org. Just reach out anytime on the web if we can serve you in some way or answer any questions for you. And Bethany and I would certainly be honored and happy to do so. Have a great rest of the day, and don't forget to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.